Good morning, and grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, who is the Christ. Amen. Thanks for being patient and tolerating Molly being with us this morning. So, my friends, I am wondering, how many impossible or amazing things have you done already this day? You're all laughing at me. No, I'm really serious. How many amazing and impossible things have you done today? Think about it. How many of you woke up this morning with a... You woke up this morning, first of all. You woke up this morning with a full pot of coffee in your coffee pot waiting for you. Do any of you have one of those amazing timered coffee pots? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That, to me, is amazing. I think that's incredible. How many of you drove here this morning in a car that had an internal GPS and you didn't have to remember how to get here? You could do it on your own. Right? Some of those cars have that. There's a GPS that will guide your way if you are ever lost. How many of you actually got a text message or an email from someone in some other part of the country? Yeah. Amazing. I think it's amazing. How many of you actually, like Molly, have a bionic part of your body? Right? Amazing things. I think that's incredible. How many of us take medications that have been created to help us live better and to live healthier? Right? We all probably could raise our hand at some point or another. I think that all of these wonderful things, these home electronic gadgets, microchip technology, medical and surgical and pharmaceutical sciences, and our culture that runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, all of these things that we have in today's world, just a few decades ago, just a few years ago, seemed impossible. And today, these wonderful, amazing, impossible things have become commonplace, have become ordinary, so much so that we don't even recognize it, that it just is the way it is. Now, I don't know about you, but I know certain people that just want to avoid some of those modern, wonderful things, right? Thinking they are still impossible. You know some folks like this. Some people who would rather cook in the same scarred and scratched pot on the stove than throw something warm to warm in the microwave oven. Mm-hmm. Some people are smiling to themselves. Some people, even much to my surprise, would rather hobble along on a painful arthritic knee or hip rather than allow some strange metal to enter their body. There are still a few in today's world, maybe you're also one of them, that would rather just avoid the computer altogether, never turn it on, and refer to snail mail, as we've now called it. Snail mail being the way of communication for you. Now, I'm not here to say all these wonderful modern things are better than what was. Sometimes, yes, they're more efficient and, quote, easier, but they can also be helpful and offer new things. New technology has made what seemed and still seems to many people impossible, but has made things possible. In today's Gospel for Holy Cross Sunday, we only get this little snippet in the Gospel from John. We don't hear the dialogue between Jesus and Nicodemus that precedes this. Well, in that dialogue, Nicodemus is one of those folks that is so resistant, I think, to change and keeps claiming that new possibilities still seem impossible. Poor Nicodemus, as he's talking with Jesus, he's confused by the unexpected nature of Jesus' images and the possibilities of Jesus' promises. All of those things he just keeps stammering and asking questions about. How is this possible, Jesus? How is it possible for us to be born from above after I've already been born from my mother's womb? How is it possible to see and enter into the kingdom of God? How is it even possible for sinful men and women to ascend into heaven. How is it possible that normal, mortal creatures such as ourselves may gain eternal life? Well, the answer to that question is actually more simple, I think, than we might imagine. How are all of these things possible? It's because we have an impossible God. Our impossible, too good to be true God outlines the core of this reality, the core of our lives, in this memorable verse that we hear here today. You know it. You probably read it and learned it and memorized it in Sunday school way back when. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, all things, my friends, are now possible because God so loved the world and gave us his Son. Indeed, Jesus is proof of God's commitment of doing the impossible. And it's because of this Jesus Christ that the impossible has become our reality, our life. What seems impossible is that God's love for us is truly eternal, truly everlasting. What seems impossible is the fact that God continues to bring new life out of death. Not just once, not just when Jesus rose from the dead after that horrible Good Friday. Not just that one time, my friends. God continues to bring new life out of death over and over again. And through the cross of Christ, God has been able to change and transform the world and continues every day to change and transform our lives. This thing of the cross, it brings new life. And sometimes it brings it in surprising ways. As I was thinking about stories of how I've seen these new and surprising ways come about, I also thought about old church fathers and mothers. And one of the church fathers that I thought about was one we don't think of very often, good old George Fox. We don't have very many Quakers or Society of Friends here in Hawaii that I've noticed. George Fox in the late 17th century and his fellow Quaker friends put themselves in danger of crucifixion and death when they began to read the Gospels, to read the Acts of the letters of Paul, and read them in a new light. And in their reading, they discovered a blueprint for Christianity as a radical society of friends. And they found this theological courage to oppose horrible things that were so ordinary and commonplace for so many. They opposed things like slavery and prisons, capital punishment, and even war. Over and over again, they put their lives on the line for the sake of the gospel, all because of the beauty of new life found in the cross. I could go on and on about stories of our lives today. I get invited, God bless the call that I have, because I'm invited into sharing stories of you and your lives. I know that God does amazing things. Today we celebrate Holy Cross Sunday. It's not a Sunday where we go and hang ourselves around the cross, crying and weeping, worshiping the cross, if you will, as an idol. Rather, it's an opportunity to look beyond, to look at the cross as a pathway to seeing the beauty of God. I think too many people who are skeptical and they don't believe in the impossible, they might look to the cross as sort of a hokey symbol or this like beautiful decorative thing. Or others may look to the cross and only see the pain and the torture that it could and does, in some cases, still represent. But through the eyes of faith, through the eyes of the gifts of the Spirit, the cross becomes a tool for God to make all things possible, for new life to be revealed. The cross isn't something we cling to and worship in and of itself. Rather, it's something that helps us to see the one of mercy and the one of unconditional love. And I think the cross is sort of that pathway, that guidance towards ultimate freedom in the Spirit. I think the promise of new life in God, who loves us unconditionally, is for some people really the most difficult and, if not impossible, thing to grasp. That thing that changes our lives in amazing ways is so hard to believe. The fact that God so loves us that he gave his only son. It's a little bit like, though more extreme, it's a little bit like taking for granted, I think, all of the seemingly complicated new technology and the work of art in this wonderful new age of creating, and not utilizing their benefit in our lives. However mysterious it is, this reality, the fact that Jesus came on earth in human form, died on a cross, and rose again, however mysterious it is, the impossible became possible with a God who died because the simple act of love gave us freedom of life everlasting. For God so loves you, my friends, that God gave his only Son so that you might live and truly have life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen.